The news in full now from Brian Jennings.
The Commission for Energy Regulation has announced that customers of Irish Water are to have their metered charges capped at an assessed rate for the first 9 months of use. The regulator has also revealed that homeowners who receive water which is not fit for human consumption will not have to pay any water supply charge. Under the charges announced today, a family of two adults and two children will pay an annual water bill of around €278. Justin McCarthy reports.
From tomorrow, homeowners are to be billed for water, and today the Commission for Energy Regulation has announced the charges people will begin paying in January. There are two types of customer, those with meters who'll pay for the water they use, and those without meters who'll pay an assessed charge. Metered customers are to be charged €2.44 per 1,000 litres, but charges will be capped at the unmetered rate for the first 9 months of use. Those without meters will pay an annual charge of €176 for a household with one adult or €278 for a home with two adults. Children will be given a free allowance of 21,000 litres each. Customers who live in areas where water is unfit for human consumption will not pay any supply charge once a boil water notice has been in place for at least 24 hours. However, they will continue to be charged for wastewater services. The regulator has also announced that customers will receive a rebate where their metered consumption is shown to be less than the assessed consumption used during the assessed charge period. Meanwhile, people who own a second home will pay a charge of €125 on their non-primary residence.
Gardaí in Dublin are investigating the shooting of a 66-year-old man in a pub in the Dolphin's Barn area of the city last night. Our crime correspondent Paul Reynolds.
At around 11 o'clock last night, a gunman wearing a balaclava walked into the Barn House pub in Cork Street in Dublin and shot a customer in the leg. The victim, who's 66, was taken to hospital where his injuries are described as non-life-threatening. Gardaí are now trying to establish a motive for the attack, but suspect it could be connected to an earlier row in the pub, during which a window was broken. They do not, at this stage, believe the shooting is connected to organised crime. The scene at the pub remains preserved this morning, and Gardaí at Kevin Street are appealing for witnesses or anyone with information to contact them. Paul Reynolds, RTÉ News, Dublin.
A new study has warned that wildlife populations around the world have dropped by more than half in just 40 years. The report by the conservation organisation the World Wildlife Fund says populations of freshwater species have suffered an even worse fall of 76%. The Living Planet study uses information from more than 3,000 species to understand how global wildlife is faring in the face of unsustainable human consumption. Colin Butfield is from the WWF.
The hardest hit have been species either in freshwater environments, but also animals that are threatened both from poaching as well as habitat destruction. A particular example would be the forest elephant lives in Western Central Africa. Its range is now down to about 6% of what it was before due to forest loss, but it's also being poached as well.
The new US ambassador to Ireland, Kevin O'Malley, will be sworn in to his new position at a ceremony in Washington, D.C. today. Later today, the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, Charlie Flanagan, will meet the US Vice President and the Secretary of State to discuss the resumption of talks in Northern Ireland. Our Washington correspondent, Katrina Perry.
A renowned lawyer and leading member of the local Irish-American community in St. Louis, Missouri, Kevin O'Malley will be sworn into office by U.S. Vice President Joe Biden today. The position had remained unfilled since Dan Rooney left in December 2012, a long-term vacancy which many had viewed as a slight on Irish-American relations. Mr. O'Malley officially takes up the role today, just a week ahead of the 90th anniversary of official diplomatic relations between Ireland and the United States. Vice President Biden will also meet with Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, Charlie Flanagan, who's on an extended trip to the US. They're expected to discuss the new round of all-party talks in Northern Ireland. Minister Flanagan will also raise the matter during a meeting with the US Secretary of State, John Kerry, who earlier this year tasked former US Senator Gary Hart with assessing whether the US administration could play a role in any new talks process. Katrina Perry, RTÉ News, Washington.
Pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong have spent another night blocking streets in the territory's financial district. They are calling for Hong Kong's unpopular chief executive to resign, and they want full democratic elections in 2017. In response, C.Y. Leung has called for an end to the protests. The students and activists have been camped out since Friday and are promising to step up their campaign if the authorities don't respond by tomorrow. Now the time is exactly 6 minutes past eight.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Continental Tyres. Tyres are your only contact with the road, so it pays to fit the best. Continental Tyres.
A cloudy start with scattered outbreaks of drizzle or light rain. This will clear to leave a dry afternoon with a lot of cloud, but some sunny breaks too. Highest temperatures 17 to 20 degrees.
Let's find out what it says in today's papers now. Here's John S. Doyle.
There are seven key principles that must be followed by holders of public office, as set down in the UK by a committee set up after the outbreak of sleaze under John Major's government in the 1990s. Fintan O'Toole, in an opinion column in the Irish Times, says that in the case of John McNulty, appointed to the board of the Irish Museum of Modern Art by the government and nominated for the Shannon by Fine Gael, six of these principles were seriously compromised by Enda Kenny and the Arts Minister Heather Humphreys, and they are selflessness, objectivity, accountability, openness, honesty and leadership. The Irish Sun comments in an editorial, Enda Kenny can expect a grilling in the Doyle this morning and he has no one to blame but himself. And also this morning, another instance of government favouritism makes the front page of the Times. Fiach Kelly reports that the Minister of State at the Department of the Environment has hired a Director of Irish Water, the semi-state body which his department oversees, as his personal driver. The paper says that Hilary Quinlan, then a Fine Gael councillor, was appointed to the Board of Irish Water last November, for which he has paid an annual fee of €15,000. Mr. Quinlan lost his Waterford City seat in the local elections last May and has since been hired as a ministerial driver by Pádraig Coffey, the junior minister, for which he is paid a further €665 a week. Questioned about the matter, Mr. Quinlan said, "You tell me one party out there who doesn't look after their own." And he asked the Times why there wasn't more of a focus on the economy. "We were all nearly eating out of bins 3 years ago," he said. The Times' lead story does focus on the economy. Suzanne Lynch reports that the European Commission is putting renewed pressure on the government to implement cuts of €2 billion in the coming budget, echoing the views of both the IMF and Ireland's Fiscal Advisory Council. She says the Commission is pressing the government to use the better-than-expected economic performance to reduce the government deficit and debt. And it is particularly concerned about Ireland's debt-to-GDP ratio, one of the highest in the European Union. Meanwhile, the Irish Examiner's lead story tells us that outsized mortgages are back and that four reports published today point to growing pressure in the property market. In echoes of the recklessness that preceded the crash, says the paper, some banks are lending up to 4.5 times combined income, when a maximum of 3 to 4 times is considered prudent. The Irish Independent's main front page story concerns the tax affairs of the technology firm Apple. Thomas Molloy writes that the state could collect an unwanted tax windfall worth billions of euro if Apple is forced to pay up following a probe into its affairs by Brussels. The Irish Daily Star and The Sun both lead with a story written by David Raley. It concerns the mother of the little girl who died in a farm accident in County Cork on Sunday. The papers say that Linda Dinsberger and her husband Rivo have to wait for a post-mortem before they can see their daughter Paula. The main story for the Irish Daily Mirror concerns the questioning by Gardaí of a man suspected of the stabbing of Dublin footballer Johnny Cooper. The Irish Daily Mail leads with what the paper describes as a chronic shortage of priests. This, says Eamon Donoghue, could result in funerals with up to 10 coffins in one church at the same time. And according to the Association of Catholic Priests, it could mean that weddings might have to be conducted by a layperson with no mass. The Independent's Mulcahy column reports from the Dublin Theatre Festival and Tomás Ostermayr's production of Hamlet at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre last week. The paper says that one unfortunate lady in the front row caught the attention of lead actor Lars Eidinger while he was delivering Hamlet's to be or not to be soliloquy. Breaking out of character, Eidinger asked for the house lights to be turned up and walked towards the lady in question. "Excuse me," he said, "but have you brought a pillow into the theatre?" The woman nodded and held the cushion in the air to to the amusement of the audience. Just what have people been telling you about the show? Eidinger asked her. Only that it's 3 hours long, she replied.
John, thank you. 12 minutes past eight. Surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean, 200 rainy days a year, but today is the last day of so-called free water in Ireland. From tomorrow, all homes will pay, and in January will get their first bills from Irish Water. Until June, the amount you'll pay will be capped, depending on how many people live in your house and how many of them are children, whether you have a meter or not. The charges were set by the Commission for Energy Regulation. They've announced those charges this morning, and they're set up to the end of 2016. Commissioner Paul McGowan is here now. Paul, thank you very much for coming into us.
Good morning.
All customers will be capped at the assessed unmetered charge. What does that mean?
What does that mean? The water charge is set on a very basic, very simple formula. If you, if people take water and wastewater services from Irish Water, they will pay €4.88 per 1,000 litres. If they take water or sewerage only, they would pay €2.44 per 1,000 litres. And every household would have a free allowance of 30,000 litres. Now, most people won't have a meter or won't be on a metered charge from day one. They'll actually be on an assessed charge. And, for example, that assessed charge for a one-person, a one-adult household, would be €176, or for a two-adult household, €278. But even once their meter is installed, for 9 months, their charges will be capped at that assessed charge level. And this is
9 months from tomorrow, yes?
9 months from tomorrow or from the date that their meter is installed. So if your meter is installed already, then your charges will be capped at the assessed charge until June of next year. If your meter gets installed, let's say, in January of next year, then you'll have until September for this cap to apply. And it's an opportunity for you to look at your metered consumption and make any changes that you can to your overall water usage to keep your bills down.
Okay, so just to be clear, assuming that I am paying for the water that comes in and comes out, whether or not I have a meter or I don't have a meter, if there's two adults and two children in the house, no matter how much water I use, even if I have a child who flushes the toilet every 5 minutes, I know exactly what I'm going to be paying between now and June, yes?
You do indeed.
How much?
It'll be the assessed charge for the two-adult household, €278.
176 for a single adult.
That's correct.
And it's 102 essentially for every adult on top of that.
Approximately €102 for every extra adult on top of that. And the purpose of the assessed charge is really to give people an opportunity to look at their metered usage and make changes, if they can, to their water consumption before they face the full cost.
So what happens after June?
Well, if the 9 months is up and you have had your meter installed for the 9 months, then you will be charged based on your metered usage.
So you can expect to pay more?
You can expect, if you use more than our estimated averages, which the assessed charge is based on, then you will pay more than the assessed charge. But if you use less, you will pay less.
Okay. If I find, for example, that after the 9 month period is over, that I'm using an awful lot more water than you think I should be using, and I suspect I have a leak, what happens?
Well, it's important to know whether or not you've got a leak. Irish Water will be putting in place a first fix policy, and this is essentially where a leak is discovered on the customer side of the meter. Irish Water will undertake to fix that first leak.
Who has to find it, me or Irish Water?
Oh, a combination. If Irish Water discover it when they're putting in the meter, then they'll note it down. If you think you have a leak, then you should phone up Irish Water and notify them.
Do I pay for the leaked water before I notify anybody?
As long as you have notified or it's known that you have a leak, the cap will apply. You will pay no more than the assessed charge until the first fix has been carried out. And details of that first fix will be published on our website before the end of this month.
If I use less than you anticipate that I'm going to use, will I get my money back?
You'll get your money back.
When?
The rebates will apply. Well, we had originally said that you would have to wait 12 months, but I'm pleased to say that based on the comments that we've reduced that now to 6 months. So after 6 months, you will get a rebate if you have been overpaying for your water.
If I'm in a part of the country where I can't drink the water, how much of a discount am I going to get?
Well, it's actually going to be a 100% discount from 24 hours after you're notified that your water
is unfit. For the water in, but not the water
only
out.
Only for the water in, not for the water out. So if, for example, we take the assessed charge of €278, half of that charge would be waived, but the other half of the charge will continue to be paid because clearly you would still be using the sewerage services.
How long does my water have to be undrinkable before I stop paying for it?
24 hours. It was originally proposed that it would be 3 months, and that you would have a 50% discount, and then that would rise to 100%. But we have listened to the feedback from our public consultation, and the discount is now 100% after 24 hours.
If I tick the box on the form that says that I may have special requirements, in other words, I may need to use more water because I'm ill or there's somebody who's ill in my house, what happens to me?
If you have a medical condition, which means that you need to consume more water than would be normal, then you self-declare that to Irish Water, and Irish Water will cap your water charges at the assessed charge.
So, and that pertains right to the end of 2016?
All the details that we are announcing today in terms of charges, caps, rebates apply until the end of 2016.
So just to take an example, one adult on their own requiring extra water for, we'll say dialysis for example, even if my meter shows me using an awful lot more water than is prescribed here, I won't pay any more than €176 a year, yes?
Yes, you will pay €176 a year maximum. Assuming that you take both water and wastewater services from Irish Water.
Will the allowances change between now and 2016?
The allowances, the free household allowance of 30,000 litres will not change.
And the 21,000 for children?
21,000, we have based that on the best available data that we have available to us. We will be monitoring that on a quarterly basis. If it is not correct, if the 21,000 is wrong, then we will change it. But it based on the best available data we have available to us
right now. What do you mean if it's wrong?
Well, if, for example, it turns out, it's based on metered data over a 9 month period. If we continue to monitor it and it turns out that 21,000 isn't in fact correct, then we will make adjustments.
So if you find after a period of time that children are using, on average, an awful lot more than 21,000 litres a year, you'll change it,
yes? We will make adjustments.
How soon?
We have committed that we would make the adjustments during the interim review period. I can't give you an exact date because we don't know when any information would come to light.
If I have a mixed-use house, in other words, say, for example, I have a shop downstairs and I live upstairs, how am I going to be charged?
Okay, well, if you're a mixed-use premises, essentially you are already paying for a non-domestic water tariff through what would have been your local authority and will ultimately be Irish Water. And you would have been receiving a free allowance of water for your domestic portion. Now you will also be charged the assessed charge for the domestic water charges by Irish Water.
I know you don't want to get into the controversy about PPS numbers. That's not really your remit. It's Irish Water's. But if I don't provide a PPS number, Irish Water tell me I won't get my free allowance. Mm-hmm. How much will I be charged then?
Basically, you would lose your free allowance and you would lose your free allowances for any children that you
have.
So
how much would those free allowances cost?
Well, let's take the two adult household, leaving aside the children, on €278. Their bill would go to over €400 if they didn't have their free allowances.
A lot of people are very unhappy about the charges. For example, if you have grown-up children who are essentially classified as adults, say, for example, two adults and three people living in the house between the age of 18, 21, 25, they're going to be paying €586 a year.
That's right. Well, that's because the definition of children is quite clearly been set for us in that it relates to people who are in receipt of child benefit. So the rules are very clear in terms of what constitutes a child for the purposes of that free allowance.
The average household, defined here as essentially two adults, irrespective of children, 278 being the cost that they will all pay between now and June. That's higher than the government had promised initially, isn't it?
Well, the government set an average charge, but bear in mind that there are single-person households, so the average is lower than the 278. But what we're trying to set out is for typical households. The one-person household will face a charge of €176 for both services. The two-person household will face a charge of €278 for both services.
VAT, is it included in this?
There's no VAT on the water bill.
Okay, so the prices that are stated here are the prices
that I'm saying here today are the charges that people will pay.
How did you arrive at these numbers?
We took a submission from Irish Water in terms of what they thought it would cost them to run the Irish Water system for 2.25 years. We reviewed those costs. So, for example, they asked us to approve €2.26 billion in costs over the 2.25 years. We reviewed it. We cut that by just over 8%.
Why?
Well, we didn't agree with everything that they were looking for, as is that's our job, to scrutinise and identify where efficiencies can be made. So, for example, on their OPEX, their operational expenditure, we identified efficiencies of 7% per annum. So we expect them to reduce their operating expenditure by 14% by the end of this control.
So you, in your view, their operating costs were higher than you thought was permissible, yes?
They're higher than they need to be, and we've compared them to other relevant utilities in the UK and elsewhere. And when we get to the next price control, we'll be looking at introducing even more stringent OPEX efficiencies on Irish Waters, because ultimately anything that Irish Water spends has to be recovered from Irish Water.
Does customers. That include the cost of consultants, for example?
The cost of everything, the cost of labour, the cost of consultancy, the cost of consumables, their costs of energy, and anything that they spend, whether it's capital or operating expenditure, we would expect them to seek efficiencies.
Why did you wait until now? This is the last day. We're going to be billed from tomorrow. Why did it take you as long as up until the last minute?
It's been an incredibly challenging timeline for everybody involved in this process to get these water charges in place and announced for the 1st of October.
Can I just go back to you again on the revenue streams from Irish Water? Mm-hmm. Was there anything you suggested to them for how they could rein in their costs? Because, as you said, you've essentially introduced an 8.2% reduction in how much they think it's going to run their operations between now and 2016.
When we looked at Irish Water's costs, we identified, as I said to you, that on OPEX that they should achieve 7% per annum efficiency savings. We noted a number of areas. For example, we have highlighted that we think their labour costs are high compared to other comparable utilities in Great Britain. But when we set them their target of reducing their costs...
When you say labour costs, do you mean the money they're paying
cost
themselves?
Cost of employing people, yeah. When we set them their target, we don't specify where they make the savings. We give them a target and it's up to them how they achieve it. Whether they achieve it through savings in consumables, labour, energy, whatever it is, it's up to them. We set them a global reduction that they have to achieve.
With the exception of the children's allowance, the free allowance for children, is that it now? Is that all set and done between now and 2016? Or are you going to come back here between now and then and make changes?
Our expectation certainly is that the charges that we've announced here today will apply until December 2016.
Paul McGowan, Commissioner at the Commission for Energy Regulation. Thank you very much for coming into our studio this morning.
Let's turn to Hong Kong, where pro-democracy protests are continuing. Tens of thousands of people are blocking streets, singing, all wanting Beijing to allow a free vote in the election of a new leader in Hong Kong. China has rejected the request. So what's it like on the streets there now? Let's ask Edwin Lee, a photographer and filmmaker. He's in Hong Kong, where it's around 3:26 in the afternoon now. Good afternoon to you, Edwin.
Good morning.
What's it like on the streets there now?
Well, it's swelled up again. The numbers actually it had been dwindling during the early hours of the morning, but I think now people are starting to get off work and get off school, and now they're joining in the crowds again. So I'm right now I'm in the financial district of Admiralty, where it's sort of the ground zero of the protest happened on Sunday. And people are kind of camped out on the main road here, Connaught Road, and everybody is kind of just mulling around, I guess, and seeing what's going to happen over the next few days.
What's the mood like amongst people who are protesting?
The mood generally is quite good. I mean, everybody's really kind of supportive of each other. Everyone's kind of passing each other like free food, water, or medicine. There's a running joke among our friends saying that we've never seen Hong Kong people so nice to each other, even though it is quite a desperate time right now. Everybody is kind of chatting to each other. There's a lot of lively debates between people who support it and people who don't support it. But there are what we call the silent majority, the people who are not kind of participating in the protest. They're the kind of ordinary, working Joes who... Some are complaining that, we are blocking the streets, we can't get to work on time, or you're inconveniencing everybody. So, I mean, even the protesters here, they've even left, lots of post-it notes or whatever, apologizing to the people. I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but we're fighting for our future. I hope you can sort of cut us some slack.
The issue here, the crux of the issue is that Beijing will not allow... people in Hong Kong select the candidates for the leadership in 2017. They will allow a vote, but they will decide who the candidates are. What has sparked the protests now?
Well, I mean, the root of the problem extends like way beyond that. I mean, but you're right. I mean, they kind of compromise, saying, okay, we'll give you universal suffrage, we'll give you one person to vote, but these people must be pre-approved by what is called an election committee, which consists of around 1,200 people, who by and large have like vested interests in China, whether it's political, commercial, or cultural. So I mean that's our biggest kind of gripe with them already. Like okay, you're giving us that, but you're kind of pre-selecting the people for us. It's like if the Irish people had to select the Taoiseach, but oh no, you have to choose from a list of people that was selected by this secretive group chosen beforehand. So you know, it's not full universal suffrage. But I mean the reasons why the numbers have swelled up recently, the past few days, is the number of factors. Like people who were watching the news, I saw us getting tear gas and pepper spray while we were being, by and large, a very, very civil. Like we were unarmed. We weren't carrying weapons. You know, we weren't like smashing the windows or slipping cars or setting things on fire. We're just camped out, kind of like we just wanted to engage the Hong Kong government in dialogue and kind of, you know, go back to the table and kind of talk with the Chinese, saying, you know, this is what we wanted, you know, and a number of things too. I mean, people who are just galvanized from friends who know people who are on the streets who want to go help, and ultimately, like the stuff that we made the world probably saw, like the main protest of the tear gas was basically that the police had orders to clear the streets before midnight that day on Sunday. That was the crux of it, basically.
All right, Edwin Lee, thank you for speaking to us from Admiralty in Hong Kong.
The Commissioner for Energy Regulation was here earlier telling us how much we're going to pay for water in and out of our homes from tomorrow. Your first bills will come in January. And that whether you have a meter or not, your bill will be capped for the first 9 months, depending on how many people live in your home and how many of them are children. If you have to boil your water for any more than 24 hours, you won't pay for the water in, so your bill will be halved. Let's speak to Pascal Fitzmaurice. He's a Fianna Fáil councillor in Roscommon. Pascal, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin.
Is this good news for people who are unable to drink the water in large parts of Roscommon this morning?
Well, I suppose in part it is good news, the fact that they won't have to pay for the water coming in. But you must, if you look at it in real terms, in my area of Castlereagh, we've been boiling water for 4 years, and that would equate to something in the region of €3,000 that somebody would have paid for buying bottled water. Now, this is not reflected in, I suppose, the cap, because you will be paying for the water out, and I think Irish Water should have made a proper gesture to the people and have them in a case that they wouldn't have to pay for the water out either, to compensate in some way for a reflection of the past. This has not happened, and I suppose, look, we're on a boil water notice and will be for the foreseeable future in our town.
Because the original proposal from Irish Water, and indeed the original proposal from the Commissioner for Energy Regulation, was that you would have had to pay 50% of the water in if you'd had to boil your water for up to 3 months. So this does seem like a step a bit better.
It is a step in the right direction, absolutely, Gavin. But as I said, people have been paying very dearly for that water in the past. And the reality is the Castlereagh town supply will be on a boil water notice, I suppose, until next May or June. So those people will be inconvenienced, and they will be paying a high amount of money for buying bottled water, which, by the way, there is VAT on water once it's in a bottle. So the government are, I suppose, getting a windfall from that. Also, Gavin, we found out that it appears that we are controlled through a company called Veolia for the water supply for farmers and for commercial businesses. And it appears that this standing charge that they pay of €100 per year will still be there once the water charges come in. Now, that shouldn't be, because every farmer will have a huge bill because of the amount of cattle they would have. And it appears that this standing charge should have been taken away with the charges, but it appears it will stand, and that's unfair in the farming community.
Pascal Fitzmaurice, thank you very much for speaking to us. By the way, just to read you a little bit from the Commissioner's bit in relation to non-domestic customers, existing charges for non-domestic water and or wastewater customers will continue to apply for the foreseeable future. It's 8:49.
Yesterday, a jury in Carrigan-Shannon returned a verdict of death by medical misadventure at the conclusion of the inquest into the death of Dara Kivlehan. She died in September of 2010, 7 days after giving birth to her son Dior at Sligo General Hospital. A severe form of preeclampsia resulted in multiple organ failure, which led to her death. For her husband Michael, a four-year struggle for answers is over. Consultant Peter Boylan, obstetrician and gynaecologist and former master at the National Maternity Hospital, is on the line. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Of course, you were also an expert witness at this inquest. Would you agree that it is the case that some pretty basic issues and errors determine the outcome here?
They were part of the picture, yes. But I also drew attention to a deficit in staffing levels and availability of intensive care beds around the country.
How big a factor was that?
Well, I think if there had been ready availability of more consultants on the ground in Sligo who were able to give better continuity of care, then a transfer may have occurred earlier. But in order to transfer somebody, you need to be able to have facilities available to transfer them. And we have a deficit in this country of intensive care beds, which is well known and has been well known for many years now. And so when they tried to transfer Mrs. Kivlehan, they were unable to because there were no beds available in the Republic, and that's why she was transferred eventually to Belfast. And this happens on a regular basis.
Should she have been sent to Sligo in the first place?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she lived in Sligo. She was attending Sligo for her antenatal care, and it was entirely logical that she would go to Sligo, and it was entirely reasonable and logical that she should be delivered there. And her care in Sligo was excellent right up until after she was delivered, and then I identified some deficiencies in care which were related to a certain extent to a lack of continuity, which is a consequence of not having enough consultants on the ground in Sligo. And also then when they did try to transfer, as I said, there weren't available intensive care beds in places. In St. Vincent's Hospital, University Hospital in Dublin in particular, which is the National Liver Unit, and that's really where she needed to be, but they didn't have any available space. Irish hospitals generally run at very high bed occupancy levels, which are well above the recommended international standard of 80%. And you need to have less than 100% bed occupancy in order to clean beds, in order to have space to accept people when there are emergencies or when there are surges in activity. And this is a regular sort of problem. I think there was an earlier item on the news about one of the hospitals around the country, I can't remember which one it was actually, where there's so many patients on trolleys.
Limerick,
and
yes.
Limerick was it, yeah. But that's reflective of what's going on around the country, that we have a lower bed capacity than we need for the population. And we need to have an honest conversation about this. And if we are, as a state, willing to put up with infrastructural deficits, then we do have to accept that there are going to be tragedies like Dara Kivlehan happening again, or we can reorganize and invest correctly on a par with other OECD countries, and these things are less likely to happen. Accidents will happen and tragedies will happen, but they're less likely in a...
Is this case purely down to a shortage of beds, though? If the need had been recognized for ICU sooner, could the outcome have been different?
It could have been, but that's entirely conjecture. And we have to be very careful not to say if such and such a thing had happened that she would have survived, because we can't be sure about that. She was extraordinarily ill and had an extraordinarily complicated clinical picture. But that's why she needed to be in a place with an input of a large team of specialists from different specialties, kidney specialists, liver specialists, intensivists, and so on, and surgeons. And unfortunately, that degree of specialization cannot be offered in every hospital around the country. That would be entirely unreasonable. But we do need to have centers of excellence which are well-staffed and which are well looked after in terms of infrastructure, and our regional hospitals need to have be beefed up in terms of staffing at consultant level in particular.
All right, consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist Peter Boylan, thank you for taking our call this morning. It's 8:46.
Let's go back to Catherine O'Mara at the Irish Cancer Society. Good morning again, Catherine.
Good morning, Gavin.
At the moment, if you're a woman between the ages of 50 and 64, you're offered screening, a scan for breast cancer. You want that extended. Why?
Well, it's extended because it was promised to be extended, but also because lives are at stake. According to figures from the International Agency for Research into Cancer, about 87 lives, based on the population in Ireland between 65 to 69 of women, about 87 lives will be saved every year if this programme is extended. And it's internationally recommended that it would be, and we want it done in next year, 2015.
You said there was a commitment to extend it. It was promised in various different government commitments. What's the delay, or why is the delay in your view?
Money. Last year, at budget time, it was one of the cuts made. We hope that it has only been delayed for a year, and we want to see it in 2015. Now, the Minister for Health, the former Minister for Health, and indeed the Minister for Finance have said that it will be extended if resources allow. We hope that given, you know, the improvement in government finances, that this will be one of the positive choices made in this budget.
Briefly, Catherine, for women between the ages of 65 and 69 now, can they request screening?
Well, they will not really. I mean, they can get a mammogram privately, but they won't be part of a population-based screening programme. And we have an excellent programme. BreastCheck is an excellent programme, and it is saving lives. But unless you are showing symptoms, or unless you have a particular concern, like a family history,
yes,
you know, you won't really be referred for a mammogram.
Okay.
But it's the recommendation, the international recommendation is that women between the ages of 50 and 69 are screened every 2 years. The second highest incidence of cancer is between women in the 60s, in their 60s. And, you know, it's time to do it. It makes sense. It will save lives, and ultimately it will save money too.
Catherine O'Mara, thank you for speaking to us. That's Catherine O'Mara, Head of Advocacy at the Irish Cancer Society, at the second attempt. 1:09.